Blog Talk Radio.
And I might never let the pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. I might never let that pain show, they be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. Mind, body, and soul,
it's you living.
We all under attack,
it's you different.
I know niggas existing in two prisons, feeling they through living like death is too tempting. What's a day worth? Put a price on it. He was 17, the judge dropped life on him. He ain't live yet, now he in the tight corner.
Gangs got their sights on him,
on the yard with a knife on him. Family trying to tell him to chill, we gon' get you home. He like how my pills said they took the wrong. That's kinda cold when you think about it. He shot a nigga, he ain't think about it, didn't even blink about it. But he was trapped in the hood and couldn't think about it. Really trying to be about it, never left his public housing, which resembles the dormitories he's trapped in. So who knew that they was prepping him back then? Yeah, on how to live packed in, make him hate his black skin. I swear it's all facts, man.
Yeah, I swear to God it's all facts, man.
So you should let the track spin. And I might never let the pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. I might never let that pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. Remember calling my mom to tell my sentence. Since I don't do no snitching, I'm not a witness. They gave me 23 years, mom.
I'm finished.
I think she cried for like 15 minutes. Over the years, there's enough tears to fill a lake. A lot of trips on
interstates for visiting.
Remember Tony got stabbed.
Yo, may he rest in peace.
Stressed my mother so bad, she barely slept for weeks. Thankful that it wasn't me, knowing prison dangers. Doing time with rikers and killers and gangbangers. Some of us get caught in the matrix, but can you blame us? Trapped in cages like animals trying to tame us. Parole hearings are jokes, you go up 50 times. Same excuse every time, serious nature of the crime. I can't change the crimes that I committed, but I can't change my mind and not repent. And I might never let the pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though. I might never let that pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back, and still I never be the same though.
Bismillah, a'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim. We seek refuge in Allah from the rejected shaitan, the devil. And in the name of Allah, bismillah, I want to greet you all with assalamu alaikum. And to those who believe and those who are out there, we want to say salam, peace to you all. Point of impact, you know it, be doing it live again tonight, y'all, August the 7th. And I'm grateful tonight to have a very, very special brother along with me tonight, my main man, Hassan Shabazz. He's joining us as the next guest host. How you doing, beloved? You okay?
Oh, man, I'm doing wonderful tonight, brother. Thank you for having me. Peace and blessings. Mm-hmm. Peace and blessings and peace and paradise to everybody that's listening, to all of the Unified family, man. We're going to have a wonderful show tonight.
Yeah, inshallah. I'm really grateful, man, to have you, brother. I've always, you know, since the day we met, I've always been delighted by your presence, and I'm warmed by it. And I'm sure the guests are going to love it tonight. We're having a wonderful brother on with us tonight, one of the founders of Freedom Over Everything, FOE4, and his name is Oliver Adam. We call him OJ. OJ, you here with us tonight, brother? OJ, okay, we haven't checked in yet, but I'm sure he'll be on the line here soon. But tonight's discussion hopefully having with OJ is in terms of victim impact. the past,
right.
The impact, you know, victims go through crime and the issues, you know, of post-traumatic stress that attaches itself to them from the crimes that they are exposed to. And so we really want to talk about that tonight and touch on that subject. OJ, you with us yet? Is he there? Oh, no.
He is sitting.
OJ? Okay. Well, hopefully he'll tune in. But one of the things that, you know, when a lot of people don't understand that when I was doing my time, you know, there were a lot of brothers and sisters, you know, that I met who were incarcerated with some serious crimes, you know, and, you know, I wanted to just really, I thought that the today's topic was something that really needs to be touched on. Because even, you know what I'm saying? Because we want to deal with the realities of what, yeah, we want to get brothers out of prison who've been wrongfully incarcerated, who have made changes in their lives. But we all have to really understand that some of our behaviors have really impacted our society in a very broad way. You know what I'm saying? And one of the great issues, like I have, you know, myself through my experiences of traumatic situations in the hood, you know what I'm saying, seeing people get killed, shot, killed by police, you know, these things are traumatic, and these traumas tend to stay with you for quite some time. So, you know, how do you feel about this topic tonight, Brother Hassan Sebastian?
Well, I feel it's a wonderful topic because a lot of times, you know, we focus on prison and criminal justice reform from the standpoint of how it affects the prisoner. But we often never, you know, strive to balance that with how it affects the victims. And for me, I know and I understand that over the years that I've been incarcerated, that I was incarcerated, and the time that I spent incarcerated, that was not a subject that many guys really like to talk about, right?
Right,
We don't really like to revisit the victims that we may have committed from crimes that we had committed in the past. And I think that there's a level of shame that goes with that that a lot of people out there don't understand. Like, it's not braggadocio. A lot of guys don't go around wearing their crimes when they sleep. You know, we might have some guys that may boast or may brag about what they've done in the past, but many of us have committed criminal acts, but we were not necessarily criminals. And that means that we don't do our acts, we don't commit those acts from a criminal mind state. Many of the crimes that were committed were reactionary. Many of the times in which we reached out to people about our situation, we couldn't find the necessary support for what it was that we may have been going through. And many times, many guys commit crimes due to lack of good advice, due to lack of counseling and mentorship, and just having somebody to follow, man. You know, many of us in the streets, we saw crime as being something that we lived around every day. So we become numb to it in a sense. And we never really think about how it affects the victim. So I think it's a great topic.
And a lot of people don't realize that most murders are not, as statistics have shown, that most, you know, murders are not, they're spontaneous. You know what I'm saying? They're not something that an individual concentrates upon. You know, sometimes you have serial murderers and things of that nature. But a lot of times, most murders are not intended. You know what I'm saying? They're not intended. And most crimes of robberies, you know, sometimes they are spontaneous. You know what I'm saying? And things of that nature. You're not really... A lot of people don't really plan out robberies. They just, you know what I'm saying, they just react, you know. So, but I know that when I was going through reentry and I was in Deerfield, we had a restoration, justice restoration program.
And that program was focused on getting you to have empathy and understanding of how crimes impact the victims. And, you know, and a lot of times I really enjoyed the program. I enjoyed the program because it put me in a place that, you know, made me start to observe my own post-traumatic stress dealing with, you know, issues of crime in my community when I was growing up, you know what I'm saying, and how it impacted me. You know, I was sharing with someone in my family with how the first time when I was 8 years old, I seen two people get stabbed up. You know what I'm saying? Mm. The impact.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The first time I ever saw a real violent crime face to face, you know what I mean? And the witness, that was very traumatic for me. You know what I'm saying? And people didn't take these things into consideration. You know, we always hear about, you know, we're always talking about the criminal and what he's done. And, you know, we're always talking about the criminal justice system and things like that. But there's a flip side to these things that also we need to keep in mind. We really need to be empathetic to understanding that there are plenty of people who have suffered severely from some criminal behavior that is, you know, I mean, it's just disgusting on a real tone, you know. But
right.
You know, I'm grateful that we're having this topic today. OJ, are you with us yet? We still don't have OJ.
Okay.
Let me remind everybody real quick. You gotta remind everybody real quick. You can dial us 563-999-3718. And remember, people, to press 1 if you would like to speak or comment. Okay? Press 1 if you're listening and you'd like to speak or comment upon the topic. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Brother Hassan.
Yeah, well, you know, when we're talking about victim impact, man, and recently, while I was at, right before I left, I had an opportunity to actually participate in the victim impact poster challenge that they do within the system. A lot of people may not know that they do this. But in the system, what they do is that every year, usually around in the month of April, it's Victim Impact Month. And in that month, they go to every prison, every reentry facility in every prison, and they ask the prisoners to submit something pertaining to victim impact, pertaining to empathy for the victim, pertaining to holding everyone accountable, pertaining to, this year it was rights, access, and equity for all victims, which is the topic. And I had an opportunity to actually participate in drawing a painting and a poster, and I'll post that later on for people to see. I think that people would be amazed at how many guys are really remorseful.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
That have been committed. And that their goal is to never go down that road again. You know, it's a very beautiful thing to see when you see guys striving to empathize with their victims, striving to find a way to make a recompense, to do something to balance out what they may have done in the past, and then strive to do positive things from here on out into the future. But when it comes down to victims, there's a lot to be said about the system itself. When we talk about prison and criminal justice reform, when it's talking about victims and victim impact, I think that the victim impact program and the justice reinvestment program that they have within the system, to strive and get guys to be aware of how their victims may have felt when they participated in a crime. I think that it's a beautiful thing and a beautiful part of the reentry system. Where there are other things that could be improved, that is one of the things that I think that needs to be maintained.
Well, I know that through my experience when, you know, they was evaluating that,
It did have a grand impact upon the young men and the young ladies who were incarcerated, you know, especially the violent crimes, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
A lot of times because they would, you know, they would actually run where they would give you an opportunity to write a letter to the victim, and then they would also establish that the victim can come in and talk directly to you. And
uh-huh.
let you know the impact. And what you find also, and which is astonishing to me, very astonishing to me, is that a lot of the victims actually have empathy for the persons who cause harm to them. And it amazed me to know, like, a great number of these situations when you go, people are sitting down confronting these men who have assaulted them or even raped them or whatever, like, you will find that they have a great deal of empathy for these men and wanting a resolution for the problems that these men or these women may be facing, and, you know, in hopes that they can bring about, you know, change in the person.
That's right.
And you can see that a lot with a lot of these brothers are on death row. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the times the victims' families or the victims' loved ones, they are very forgiving, very forgiving.
Right.
And you know, that's by God's mercy. I got to say, that's truly by God's mercy.
Yeah.
Alhamdulillah. You know, Allah is truly all rahman, the most merciful. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, people, I think programs such as Victim Impact is something that really needs to be concentrated more into where cognitively you can create programs that, you know, some of these young people in school and things like that can, at an early age, you know, hear the stories, you know what I'm saying,
mm-hmm.
victims.
Right.
And, you know, this may prevent a young man from going out doing a crime to an elderly person or, you know, to someone he's maybe having a grudge with or beef with. You know what I'm saying? And it may soften his heart to consider that you're not just hurting the individual, you're hurting people. Because victim impact is not just so much about the person who was your victim of a crime. It's also the impact that you've had upon the victim's families. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because the families are victims too. You know what I'm saying? To the fact that you brought harm unnecessarily to someone that they love. You know, so, yeah, it's a wonderful issue that needs to be touched upon. And I just pray that they continue to enhance that program.
Let me chime in real quick. I want to chime in real quick because I'm listening, but I can't really be on the phone because I'm, you know, multitasking. So as a victim, I will hold the Department of Corrections, you know, accountable for the rehabilitation of those who offended, right? So I know the guys have a release date, and due to their release date, I would like to see change in the behavior. So I will most definitely want my tax dollars to mean something as a victim of enforcing change and you know, holding guys accountable to change
mm-hmm.
upon release.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I agree with that.
That's the tax
dollars need to go to a place where it's most needed. And when you're talking about this issue of criminal justice reform and prison reform, we talked about the victim impact program that they have, but at the same time, what we haven't necessarily delved into is the mental health issue, right? Because when you deal with empathy, right, when you're dealing with those types of attributes, you're talking about the mental health of an individual. And his ability to be able to comprehend and understand, you know, the consequences of his actions and who he has affected by his actions. And some guys, honestly, when they go into prison, because of the environment, because they profess that it is a healing, a learning and a healing environment, but at many times you only find that in the reentry community. When you look into these other dormitories and pods and places of that nature, those programs aren't necessarily in effect. And you don't,
right.
And you might not necessarily get those programs unless you have a certain amount of time, which I
right.
think is unfortunate. I think that everybody yeah. should be exposed to those programs. And so there's more money that needs to be funneled into, striving to find a way to get guys to understand victim impact.
And also
understanding mental health.
Yeah, well, you know, that's one of the great issues I had with the reentry program, because the reentry program does cognitively bring into light the connection to connect the brothers of the offenders to their actions, you know what I'm saying, and holding them accountable. But when they bring the program in at 6 months, like, and you fast-tracking a man who has spent maybe
right.
years of his life, you know what I'm saying,
right.
living in a certain
right.
mind state, and, you know, being desensitized to a lot of what his emotions and feelings may be, you know what I'm saying? These type of programs need to be implemented from the beginning of one's incarceration point. So
mm-hmm. that's
these
right.
are the things that, you know, because really they're just stealing the dollar of the taxpayers' money, and they're just, you know, putting it on paper, and they're showing numbers, but they're not showing any progress. And this is a problem that we need to address. Right now, we just got my man, my brother, OJ, Oliver Adams.
Right.
Are you with us, OJ?
All right.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Okay, peace, beloved. Peace, peace. We got brother Hassan Shabazz.
How everybody doing?
We good, bro. Hassan Shabazz is joining us today as our guest host, and we here for you, brother. You want to go ahead, and we already was touching on the topic of victim impact. You want to introduce yourself to everyone and let them know who you are, what's going on with you?
Absolutely. This is Oliver Adams, Vice President of FOE. Good afternoon, everybody out there. I want to speak about victims' impact, and I want y'all to bear with me because this is my first time, you know, talking to people on the radio or whatever, so just bear with me. The subject victims' impact, this is a subject that a lot of people don't speak about, especially when the suspect of a situation, you know, speaks about it, coming from the heart. What I've learned throughout the course of my incarceration is that when it come to victims, when it come to you doing something to someone else, especially killing someone else, you don't just affect the person that you killed. You affect their family, their friends. You affect your family. You also kill their family and your family when you kill someone. Not literally, but figuratively, because it takes something away that you can never give back to people. But the main thing, when I grasp the reality of what I took from somebody, that's when I really started to have remorse. When I really started to think about what I can't give back to somebody, it really hit home for me. I thought about the empathy for all parties involved. But I feel like to show remorse to the victim is becoming a better person for society, a better person for my people and my friends. And just up until 3 years ago, I didn't even know that you couldn't contact a family of the victim. I learned it through Victims Impact. I wanted to literally say it myself to that family how apologetic I was, and anything I can do, I know it ain't going to make it right, but I'm willing to do that. But it took for me to... Hello?
Yeah, repeat that for the people, OJ. What did it take for you?
Yeah, it took for me to go through these steps of my incarceration to realize these things for myself. Up until I was locked up 14, 15 years, it still didn't hit me. I had a talk with my parents about reaching out to that family, and that's when they told me, like, hey, you can't do that. Like, that's against the law. I did not know that. But I really feel like speaking about victims and victims' family is really important, man, because we all come from that situation. We all have been victims of someone else doing something to someone close to us.
I perpetuated
the same thing in my community.
Right.
Being young, you know what I'm saying? Being young, ignorant, not really listening to my father's main things he used to tell me about the black man being born with three strikes against you. But all of that hit home as I got older and time went on, right? But, yeah, that's my piece, man. I don't talk long. I'm not a big talker. I get to the point and I get out.
I want to thank you so much for expressing a point that a lot of times men, while we're incarcerated, we constantly concentrated on our own issues and not realizing the impact of what our actions have caused, not only like our family, but the family that we've harmed, like down to the people, you know, you don't know if they had children, or now their children are going to maybe grow up without a father or mother. You know, the impact is like I like to call it called the ripple effect. It is something that tosses itself out far, far, far than what you can even imagine. And then the greater point of it is that what you emphasized on your family. You know, when I was incarcerated, one of the things that created a great remorse in me for not only the crime that I was in prison for, but the many crimes that I had done in the past, you know what I'm saying? I had to really focus and understand that, hey, I had hurt a lot more people in my actions than just, you know, the person I had done this crime to, because I watched my family suffer so gravely, in striving to aid me with provision, with legal assistance, with, you know what I'm saying, my presence being absent, or unnecessarily because of my selfishness, you know what I mean? So, you know, I thought that the direction in which you just took the conversation, I really appreciate it. Brother Hassan, you
want to comment? Yeah, I most definitely do. You know, because I took something from what the brother was saying as far as how we as families and our communities and society, we often find ourselves victims of crimes ourselves, and then we perpetuate that madness upon others around us, right?
Yeah.
The thing about that's really telling when you're dealing with this issue right here, right? I'll use a quote from famed novelist Fyodor Dostoevsky, who was a Russian novelist. He said that if you want to judge the civilization of a society, you have to look into its prison. I think that if we take that into account, right, there's a lot of social reform that has to take place. Many victims out there may not realize, and then some may have through just being aware of the issue, right, when you're dealing with crime and criminality and criminal justice, that many of the individuals who commit crime have been victims of crimes themselves. And I know for a fact, I remember having my house broken into, right? I remember being stuck up. I remember all those different things. And when you live a culture of that type of lifestyle, right, it becomes normalized to a certain degree. And we become numb to crime. And so when it's done to us, we turn around and say, man, well, I don't have no problem doing it to nobody else. And I think it becomes just that dog-eat-dog mentality that's brought over into a crime-provoking mentality that makes us feel like, okay, you know, if don't nobody care about me, I don't care about nobody else. And many times the society that we live in is the ones who are responsible overall, you know. So we have to remember that we live in a very, very violent society. Right.
Yes.
We accentuate violence. We promote it. Right. We get paid off of it. We make very, very violent movies. Right. We America stems from a violent history. Right.
That's right.
It manifests itself from a violent root. And so, if we trace it to the root, then we understand that the fruit doesn't fall far from the tree. So
that's right.
When you find the fruits of our crimes and manifest it in a way in which it results in mass incarceration, because it is a total cycle that is perpetuated and promoted, then what we have to do is understand the monetary value of the commission of crime. Like, we don't really put a finger on that, but there are individuals who have a stake in us committing crimes and then going to prison. And they don't have no thought about victims. They don't care about victims. They, you know, like I ain't seen Global Tail or JPay or Keefe do nothing for victims. I haven't seen it. Right? Let's think about that for a minute. I have not seen any of the multi-billion-dollar corporations do anything for victims' impact. So victims should be mad about that. They should literally be standing at the rally with us, saying, "Okay, we're going to tear down and dismantle this defective system, which was built in a defective manner, right, to affect people in a defective way." And so you know, I think that we really, really need to look at that and understandably. You know, and don't get me wrong, victims deserve justice, right? But justice means balance, right? That means that you have to bring about some type of equity, right? Some type of fairness in the system.
Right.
And as long as the system functions in the way that it is, victims, no matter how long a prison sentence that the commissioner of your crime, they may get, right, it still does not equate to justice, and we have to find a way to get to that.
Yeah, I agree. OJ, would you like to add more on to that? Would you like to add on to that, brother?
The brother couldn't have said it no better.
Well, you know, this show, we missed you last week. You know, we had Denise join us last week, and it was a wonderful lady. You know what I'm saying? We missed you last week. But brother, you know, I just feel like this is a good topic to be talking about right now, especially when you have so much going on in society with the violence of gun violence right now. And it's happening to watch a video on TikTok yesterday. And the guy was literally rapping about everybody that he proclaimed to have murdered. And he was not only rapping about it in the video, but he was actually showing the pictures of the people that he murdered, naming them name by name. And I thought to myself, I said, man, I could imagine how the family members must be feeling who are possibly seeing this video. You know, one of the things about us, man, as you mentioned earlier, Brother Hassan, this dog-eat-dog mentality. You know what I'm saying? We have lost a lot of sensitivity towards the issues that at one time confounded us. When you think of organizations like the Black Panther Party and how they tried to establish, you know what I'm saying, within the communities, a unified front of, you know, the old vintage, it takes a village to raise a child, right? So now when you look at us now today, and you look how far we are from that vintage, when you look how far we are from, you know, a community of people who once had a concern for our neighbors, you know what I'm saying, or our elders, you know what I'm saying, man? It's lost today. It's lost. And so many of the issues that concern our society today are perpetuated upon violence. When you turn on, I watched my little niece today play a video game today, and I told her, I was like, you know, don't play too much of this. Like, you know, you need to be trained. I'm watching this little girl play Mortal Kombat, and I'm talking about she's talking, jumping, thing. You know what I'm saying? And I'm sitting there watching this thing, and I'm like, wow, this is really intense violence.
Well, let me just chime in and say this. We don't just have daddy issues in our own homes, but we have daddy issues as a country. We have daddy issues as a nation because our father didn't raise us right. If he raised us to be savages and he raised us to act a certain way, and you display that and you know, towards others, how do you expect us to act?
Hey, look, I want to say this, man. Like, what she just said, the father-daddy issues as it pertains to America, right? Let's not forget, you know, that America was born in violence. Like, let's not forget that the forefathers of this country committed a crime against humanity. And so nobody often talks about the victim impact of those who were formerly slaves in this country, right? Oh, and the Native Americans, that let's not forget, right? And so when we're talking about victim impact, we have to go into the history of it and then understand that morph, that has morphed into what we see today, right?
Because
hurt people.
No question.
Because we are probably, according, and as well as Native Americans, we have been victims all along, brother, for over 400 years of violence. You understand what I'm saying? As a people, we've been. This is why I was just bringing up the point of our being so desensitized. You know what I'm
right.
saying? And you know, and as Sister Crystal just brought out about the daddy, you know, issue. Let me tell you something. First and foremost, we can't even attach ourselves to understanding the issues of daddyhood and fatherhood. Because our forefathers were not raised, first and foremost, and brought in this country to cultivate a family as a mother and father.
That's right.
They were brought into the country as products, bro, sis. Mm-hmm. You understand? So
yes,
when that melted down and then they gave the Emancipation Proclamation, and then you look through all the years, there was never nothing implemented to re-educate us and re-cultivate us back to understanding how to be, you know, fathers and how to be mothers and how to be, you know, a family again. That was never cultivated in us. That was something that we had to initiate through our own means. You understand? I was just talking to a person, a young my family today, and we were just talking about how, you know, not as a sidebar, but the issue of, like, even religion. We're so disconnected from who we are that when we see who we are, when we get the reality of
you
who
have
we,
1 minute remaining.
Of who we originally are as a people, how we cultivated, man, we don't even want no parts of it. We think that's We think that's not uniform. We think that's out of, you know, that's what? But we ain't supposed to be like that. You understand what I'm saying? This westernized society has so much, has consumed us so greatly that we are so far out of touch, man. And, you know, being victims and then being those who have imposed ourselves to bring about more victims through the crimes and the things that we have, you know, is deep. Brother OJ, can you call back?
Yes, sir.
Sure okay, will. Okay. Please do. Please do.
I'll be right back.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So, it's, you know.
Thank you for using GTL.
This is a very, very, I'm really, like, getting intense over here. I got to calm down. Because, you know, I think about it, bro. And you know, the brother really touched on a lot of points when he was talking about our family. You know what I'm saying? And when he was talking about the families of the victims, you know, and the victims themselves, man. It's just, it's really sad that our so-called judicial system doesn't, you know, take these issues into concernment as it should be. And then when you talk about corporations like GEO, Wagon, Hut, and Keefe, and PayPal, all of these corporations that are making money off of the pain that we suffer and the victims suffer. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
But don't get it twisted. It's a capitalism country. So don't get it twisted. Don't think that this is not by scheme, that this is really what they want.
Any time
police ride around, and only 7 times of the year they want to meet quotas by being in writing tickets and being in certain areas to you know, make arrests and things of this nature. But that just tells you that the government itself has no concern for the violence that's taking place. I'm in Huntersville, right, a couple of nights ago. In Huntersville, Norfolk. I was out there a couple of nights ago. I was sitting in front of my store over there by Lafayette a couple of weeks ago. Gunshots went off like crazy, bro. Not one time did I hear siren or anything come through the neighborhood. You understand? So at the end of the day, man, you know, this is all by scheme. And, you know, it's sad that, you know, certain corporations and people are making money, but the pain and the suffering and the money the victims that they have offenders in these families, you know?
Yeah. I hear you wholeheartedly on that. I think brother's trying to come back in. Yeah. You there, OJ?
Hello? Yeah. My phone
okay, yeah.
Yeah, to add on. So, my own experience with the, let's just keep it what it is, say what it is, black on black crime, right? So, when we in our communities, most people that does something to us look like us. So, when I came to prison, that was my mindset of looking at another black man as if he was my enemy.
Right.
Because of my past experience on the street, every time, I never got into a situation with a white person. You know what I'm saying? It was always somebody that looked like me. So I brought that to prison thinking the same thing, like, black men are my enemies. And I realized it for myself when in my late 20s of what was going on. I peeped it for myself. And I started working my mind off out of thinking like that. And I had conversations with other young brothers about that same experience because subconsciously I believe other young black men do the same thing. They do the same thing. They don't know where it's coming from. They just know most of our situations came from somebody that looked like them. And that is bring to the forefront of hurting or wanting to do something to somebody else. But again, we also know drugs are involved. A lot of these kids are on a lot of drugs. Any type of drugs. And drugs and guns is the main problem throughout the whole United States. That always been a problem, like you said, from get-go. First it was the gun, but now that there's more drugs than concocted in somebody's lab, and, you know, now everybody's doing drugs and got a gun. Like, that's the worst combination.
Makes me feel like there's a diabolical design that permeates throughout this country, and I think that every aspect of it stems from, once again, the root of this country having been in violence. But when you talk about black on black crime, OJ, right? There's something that has to be said about the psychology, right? Of why it's easier for us to just commit black on black crime with no sense of empathy, no thought about it, and so forth, right? And I think that what that comes from, what that stems from, is the psychic trauma of slavery.
Thank you for using GTL.
Oh yeah, I think the bell got cut off, but we'll proceed till he come back, man. I think touching upon the psychic trauma that we went through of slavery has literally affected us in a way in which we don't even see it. It's like a fine mist that the naked eye can hardly detect.
But that's what I was. That's what I was bringing the point on. Yeah. Go ahead.
And that right there, the essence of that right there is where the solution has to be found for us in our community. But then at the same time, that solution can then be applied to the greater community at large. And I think that we are the only ones that can come up with that solution, because we are the only ones who are committing the crime against those who look like unto ourselves in the way that we do, right? And it's a very sad reality to know that we only make up 13 to 14% of the population, but we make up over half of the 2.3 million people in prison, right?
And then Brother Hassan, that's where I'm really pushing, like, as men, I think we have a greater responsibility to the women of our communities and our families who have, you know, this is the message they've been screaming to us for so long. In my view, just from where I'm sitting as a son who came from a single mom who raised me, and who grew up, I had my father in my life, but my mother pretty much was the one who raised me and grew me to be, you know, the man I was. You understand? And I think a great assertive effort needs to take place with the men of our community and our nationality, because we are now more aware, we are now more conscious of the issues that lie, and we need to assert ourselves more to bring about solutions that will, you know, resurrect our community. You understand? And understanding the need of, you know, these younger brothers who are coming behind us, who are distracted from really identifying with themselves cognitively to be able to relate with a reality of what this world is. You see what I'm saying? And we see that, you know, that we need to do more. I'm hoping OJ can join us again. We got like 10 minutes left.
Sure.
Is there anything other that you like to say, you know, in reference to like the victims and how we can possibly have more greater empathy for the victims who were, you know, harmed in these vicious crimes. Or...
Yeah, I think that solution wise, right? Because I'm always striving to be a solution driven individual, and then we can always analyze the problem and see it. We'll see it for what it is, and hopefully be able to express that to the people who listen to us, and who hear our voices and who are hearing our voices right now. I think, but the solution has to be it has to come from the collective, right?
Right.
And that means that when you have a collective, that you have to have leaders. You have have those who are willing to step out on the front line and say, listen, man, nah, we got to stop this madness. This has to stop, right? This has to stop because no one benefits more from it, right, than the individuals who want to see you in the place that they have you in and the individuals who care nothing about the victims that they create from putting you in that place, whether it be your family or whether it be the victims of the crime that you may have committed. What we have to realize is that we have to be our own self-saviors in this thing. And this means that we have to start having these hard conversations about our conduct and the way that we conduct ourselves in our community. I think that many of us have become salty, right? Many of us feeling like we have nothing to live for. When you come from a level of poverty, right?
Yeah.
Poverty
yeah.
breeds criminality.
And
what we have seen over the years is the criminalization of poverty, right?
Hold on a second now. Now, a lot of people like myself, now, when I came to Virginia, bro, and I came to this state, I didn't see poverty in instance of, you know, like what people are calling the hood, like I did in Jersey and Camden.
Okay.
And
right.
In Patterson and North New Jersey and New York.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I really was kind of baffled as to why the people felt the need to want to be reflective of what's going on up top.
There you go. There you go, right? See, poverty, what we have to understand is that poverty is not just a physical thing. Poverty is also metaphysical. See, poverty is also manifests itself from an impoverished mentality. An impoverished mentality means that you haven't been given the proper education that you're supposed to have. And so you can't create generational wealth in your community, not just by financial means, but also spiritual and moral means, right? When you lack the moral capability to be able to build your community up, when you lack the financial capability to be able to build your community up, you can live in a nice home, right? But still project perverse thoughts. And so we have to always remember that poverty is twofold. Poverty is not just the physical aspect of it. Poverty is also the mental aspect that derives from the physical. Remember, we started this thing off talking about psychologically how it is that we start to feel about just becoming developing a level of empathy for our victims, right?
Right.
That comes through wealth, though, right? When you start to develop empathy, that is a characteristic of wealth, because what you understand is that there has to be an equal distribution of that, right?
And so
for us, we are at combat not just with physical poverty. We're more at combat with psychological poverty and mental poverty, moral poverty, anything else. And this is what we have to get to. Like, we have to put our finger on it, point it out, and then say, hold up, man. Look, this right here is going to lead you down this road right here. So an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, and let's find a way to prevent yourself from committing the crime so that you don't have to deal with a victim, the impact upon that victim, the impact upon your family, the impact upon yourself.
Yeah.
I think that was very good. I really liked the way you articulated that. That was beautiful, brother. And it was very, that's why I wanted to present that question. It was very, comprehensive. And we got 4 minutes here. So I guess we lost Brother OJ, and I thank Brother OJ and Freedom Over Everything, you know, who I'm also a member of, and you're a member of. I'm waiting for everybody to come on board to be a member of Community United Focus.
we there for that too, brother. We there for that too. You know, like we there for that too. This is a conglomerate.
That's right. I want us to really just thank Allah for, thank God for this wonderful conversation tonight. I want to thank my wonderful guest host today, my brother Hassan Shabazz. I love this dude, y'all.
I love you too, brother. I love you too, man.
Thank you so much, brother. It's like we done known each other for a million years.
We have.
Yeah,
our bodies been catching up.
That's right. And I definitely want to thank Brother OJ, Oliver Adams, you know, my sister Krista. You know, we've had a wonderful show. Jay Sean, is there anything you want to say with you, Jay Sean?
I'll be right back.
Is she there?
Jay Sean.
Oh, she...
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Is there anything you want to say with
you? Well, you know. It's always a pleasure. Another good show, informative. Everybody just stay safe. Keep up the good work.
Right on.
And that's what we plan to do by the might and strength of the law, guiding us and moving us in all that is good for us. I want to just really, really emphasize to people, man, like, you know, always remember, man, you may be going through something, but somebody else is going through something worse.
Yeah,
and
right.
You always got to have consideration to understand that, you know, this world is not just about you. You know, now you may be the primary concern in your world, but you surely need to consider others. Because it's just not, and I would ask everybody, because the brother talked about, having remorse. One of the greater ways of having remorse is to first recognize sincerely that you've done something wrong. And, you know, and cleanse your heart, man, your heart. Let's start cleansing our heart, you know, with removing things that are polluting our heart. You know what I'm saying? From food and intake of music and things that we allow to resonate through our ears, what we observe through our eyes. You know what I'm saying? So let's, you know, work on renewing our heart, and let's work on renewing our culture, you know, and re-educating ourselves to become better and stronger people for humanity. And that's what we need to be doing. I thank everybody for a wonderful show tonight. Hassan, I look forward to seeing you and speaking to you next week, brother. I love you.
Yes, sir.
And
I love you.
I'm enjoying you as a regular on the show. Okay?
Oh, wonderful, man. I appreciate you having me. And everybody out there, man, you know, go in peace and be safe.
Alhamdulillah. With that, we're going to leave everybody. We say again, good night, and take this moment, y'all, to do something that will benefit you in this life as well as the hereafter, that will benefit your family, and that will benefit your community. Everybody be safe.
Good
night. Good night. Good night.
Love. Good night.
I love you.
Shout out, Young Swiss.
I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you.